Welcome to the Synthetic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Henrik DeCuyer. Join me for interviews and thoughts on the ever-expanding topic of synthetic media. You can find my book on synthetic media on Amazon. Subscribe to this podcast for free. Follow us on syntheticmediapodcast.com and enjoy today's episode.
I'm Adrian David Chiok. I'm currently working as a professor in iUniversity, Tokyo, Japan. But because of the coronavirus pandemic and border closures, I'm actually physically located right now in Adelaide, South Australia.
Adrian, how are you involved with synthetic media?
Well, I think it all started more than 25 years ago, maybe nearly 30 years now. I was a young assistant professor at that time. I was at the National University of Singapore, and there was a new topic in computer science and electrical engineering called augmented reality. Like all things in life, some things are, you know, a bit of luck. But maybe I happen to know some of the very, very early people who were working on the topic of augmented reality. They were friends of mine. I also, was reading about this topic. There was just a few articles at that stage about augmented reality. Wanted to create some new technologies in augmented reality. I was looking for a funding agency to fund my work, as all, you know, academics need someone to fund their work. And it just happened to be that the Defence Science Technology Agency, which is kind of like a research arm of the Singapore military, were looking for someone to work on augmented reality for soldiers, Singapore's, you know, army soldiers. And there was literally no one in Singapore that even probably I was the only person who even knew what the term augmented reality was at that time. I think this is about 97, 98. By default, I think I was about 24, 25 then. By kind of default, I got landed with a huge grant. I mean, at that time, it was very huge for me because I was so young, but like a, you know, $6-7 million grant to work on augmented reality for the soldiers. And the thing was such a huge amount of money that basically anything I could think of, I had enough money to do it. So I started off with, doing what I was supposed to create for the Singapore Army, which was an augmented reality headset, where, you know, they have location information, position of the enemy, etc. Very, very old work now. Now you can do that on your mobile phone, whereas that time it needed, hundreds of thousands of dollars of computing technology. But then I started to think about, and I think this was a new point because, you know, augmented reality wasn't invented by me. It was, I was working on AR because I thought it was a very, very cool thing. But the next step was I thought, can we extend augmented reality to all of the five senses? So I think that was an early thought I had, probably in the early 2000s. And so I was thinking, can we extend augmented reality into other senses such as touch, taste, and smell? So at first I tackled touch, and I made some systems where you could send touch remotely through the internet. And at first I did a human to pet interaction where you could you could touch your pet chicken through the internet, and the chicken had a jacket on which where it produced remote touch. So you touch a doll when you're at, you know, remotely, like at school or at the workplace, and then the chicken would feel touch on her body, his or her body. And And then I next step was I made a system called Hugging Pajama. It was for parents and children to hug each other through the internet. So it was like a kind of vest or pajama that parents and children could wear. And if the parent was had to work late at night or was on a business trip, they could maybe read a book through the telephone. At that time the internet wasn't so it didn't have so much bandwidth, so the idea was you could read a book through the telephone and then send a hug to your kid good night through the internet. This was the working on remote touch. And then the next stage was look at a remote touch, taste and smell. And so at this, I was thinking about this for many years in while I was in Singapore, but it sometimes takes a long time to figure out what to do. And I did a lot of research, a lot of reading and I was surprised that actually most scientists don't really know how do we smell or how do we actually taste. That was a surprising thing for me. There was no book that I could easily get from the library on how do humans taste and smell. Even now scientists don't really know, and they disagree on how do humans actually smell. What is the exact mechanism? I mean, we basically know roughly, but the actual mechanism, no one has really proved anything. And that's basic science. And I'm an engineer, I'm an electrical engineer. So I leave that to the scientists to figure it out. But the point is that it was a difficult topic to start because even the basic science is rather unknown. So you kind of don't know where to start. But then I thought let's try, based on my reading and also speaking to other professors, some who vehemently disagreed with me. They said it's impossible, but reading and talking to other professors and scientists, I thought we can probably stimulate the taste receptors and smell receptors using electrical signals. So then I developed what I call electric taste machine. And what this was two electrodes that you placed on the tongue, and it produced electric current. And we didn't know what would happen, actually, honestly speaking. As I said, we're kind of flying blindly. But yes, people did report they could, we could stimulate a salty, sour, bitter, by varying the frequency and varying the current, we could stimulate these basic smells, tastes on the tongue. And most people will know that the tongue has five basic tastes: salty, sour, sweet, bitter, and umami. And we couldn't generate sweet using electrical signals, but I can't remember exactly who wrote the paper, but a very, very old paper written 50 years ago, that some doctors found when they were trying to do something else, but they found that if you suddenly increase the temperature of the tongue, people reported sweet taste, and they just reported it as a kind of side effect of some other medical research they were doing. So then we developed a machine using a thermal generating device. It was a device called a Peltier semiconductor, and you can just instantly change temperature very quickly. So we found that people, when you suddenly increase the temperature like 15 or 20 degrees on the tongue, then people felt that something like a sweet sensation. So we could stimulate sweet taste by thermal stimulation. So these are all gadgets we built in the lab, and they worked. And then we wrote papers about it and books and published the work as all academics have to do to report their work and publish in peer-reviewed journals. And after all that, we decided to work on digital smell. By this time, I was actually working in Malaysia, and I had my own institute called Imagineering Institute, and it was in Johor Bahru in Malaysia. So I had five years grant, and I thought, right, this is a good time to do it. I got 5 years of grants and grant money, and then we worked on digital smell, and this was actually much more difficult than we expected, because you know, the taste, for the taste, there's only five basic tastes, but for smell, I don't know, you know, some scientists say we can smell 3,000 smells, and some scientists say it's 30,000 or more. But basically we just decided to see what would happen if we stimulate the olfactory receptors at the top of our nose using electrodes, which we placed at the top of the nose. It's called the nasal concha region. And we found that people could experience different kind of smells, and we used the basic categories that have been developed by scientists. So, you know, sweet smell, woody smell, burning smell. So, you know, there is kind of fundamental smells that are kind of basic and to the human olfactory system. But we couldn't do anything, for example, not yet, like, you know, the smell of coffee or smell of a banana or something. There's still a long, long way to go before we get there. But we could produce basic smells that people reported using electrical stimulation. And so that's about the latest that we got with the work. Two things happened. One is that my lab in Malaysia, it was a five-year project, so it finished in end of 2019. And I was supposed to go to Tokyo, but then, as we all know, the disaster, nightmare of the pandemic came, and nearly 2 years later, still I'm a professor in Tokyo, but only with Zoom. So once I get back to Tokyo, my plan is to restart the lab and continue the work. But there was as with many people, a big disruption with the pandemic. So of course I could continue work, like writing books and writing papers. So that's what I've been doing a lot of. But you know, when you have an actual physical lab, that's a different story. That will come probably next year, hopefully.
Adrian, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with synthetic media?
I saw the work of quite a few people and also companies. So I think that some of the biggest successes have actually been to use chemicals. So I actually did work with a company in Japan, and it was a company that made a device that attached to your mobile phone. And it had a reservoir of chemicals, so you could send a message, but it had a smell attached to the message. So this was very, I think, you know, successful. People are going to look back on this in probably 20 years and say that was one of the very early works in digital smell. Because with chemicals, you are using the natural smelling system of the human olfactory system, then this became a commercial product. And also we did work with, for example, Mugaritz restaurant in Spain, which is a very famous restaurant. And the chef Andoni Luis Aderiz is a, you know, Michelin star chef. He actually contacted me out of the blue. Well, one of his people did, you know, and said, my restaurant has 50 seats maybe maximum, and so he can't reach out to thousands of people with his very special, you know, kind of gourmet cooking. But he wanted to make an app that you could see the dishes visually, like on your phone, and smell them. So we created this app for him, and we spent quite a few trips to his restaurant in Spain, which was really exciting because I got to eat the dishes that he makes, and we captured the smell using a commercial system to detect odors, and then we produced this in the mobile device, which could emit chemical smell. So this is I think has been the biggest success so far in terms of digital smell, but incorporating small devices which can emit smell from mobile phones. But the problem is, of course, it's like a inkjet printer. Eventually those chemicals will run out, right? So you have to refill them. That is the difficulty with any kind of chemical smell system. So I think the challenge is, as far as I know, the only way we can overcome this challenge is to directly stimulate smell using electrical signals, because that will allow the signals to be transmitted through the internet and without having to refill chemicals on the device. So we've done that, in the early stages, as I mentioned, but this needs a long way to go, where we can, stimulate complicated smells using electrical signals. And I'm not sure whether stimulating the nasal olfactory receptors is the way to go. I mean, it may be that this is beyond electrical engineering, and maybe there is direct stimulation of the brain itself, the part of the brain which is responsible for smell. So if neuroscientists manage to figure out some interface to the brain, then this probably will be the solution to the artificial smell, or as you say, synthetic media, synthetic smell. For synthetic touch, actually, it's much more easier. I mean, for taste, we've already shown that you can produce taste using electrical signals. I've met one or two scientists who at conferences and events that vehemently say this is impossible. But I think we spent many years to develop the systems, and we, really had hundreds of volunteers, and we very carefully tested the system on them. So I can very safely conclude that we can produce electrical taste using electrodes. And it is cumbersome to put electrodes on the tongue. So I think in a commercial system, it'll be something like these new technologies where people are making plastic semiconductors. So you could imagine some device which is like a film which you put on top of your tongue, and it's flexible. So this then connects to the computer with Bluetooth or whatever system we have in the future, and we have electrical taste. And yeah, and for touch, because there's a lot of technology around robotics, a lot of these robotic systems can be used on the human body. So if you're developing, robotic hands, and so you've probably seen videos where robots can pick up very delicate objects, like pick up an egg, which is actually very difficult because it's difficult not to crack the egg when you pick it up. Humans can do it perfectly, right? But now robots can do this. So the same technology can be used on the human body. So you're effectively wearing the robot on your body. So synthetic touch can be done using a lot of basically similar technology to robotic touch. And so we wear, we wear the devices on our body. So this is already happening. And so I think in the future, we will have full body suits where we can stimulate touch on any part of our body. And we can have some kind of maybe film on our tongue, electrical plastic semiconductors on our tongue. And smell is the biggest challenge. And I think, as I said, maybe the solution is to directly interface to the brain itself.
Adrian, What advice would you like to share with people working on synthetic media?
Even though we've advanced a lot, so much of the work is still stuck behind the lab walls or the ivory tower, they used to say, you know, in universities. So I think the really, really important would be to have people who could commercialize these products, right? So I think, you know, it could be Facebook because, you know, they're developing this metaverse. And they even changed their name to Meta, right? So it could be very big companies like Facebook, which want to develop virtual reality technologies. And I think my advice would be to try to bring all these works which have been done in research labs and in universities, maybe in military labs as well, you know, bring it out and try to turn it into a commercial product. And it may be that the best way to do that is not by working individually, but by joining Facebook and having a very big team and a lot of money, of course. So, but I think that is the big next step, is to take this from the labs to the commercial product, so that more and more people can experience these technologies of virtual, you know, touch, taste, and smell. And this will be the greatest contribution going forward.
Adrian, where can we learn more about synthetic media and your work on the subject?
It depends on what level do you want to, you know, read about this. If people want to work on a very technical level and develop their own systems, then they should probably look up the academic papers and books. For example, IEEE, you know, they have journals that you can search for papers on this topic. There's Google Scholar, which is a way to search academic papers. So for people who really want to develop these technologies as engineers or computer scientists, there are a couple of good ways to learn more about the topic. And there have been some books which you can find on Amazon, maybe a more general or textbook level, where, you know, to have a more general knowledge about this topic. There is a wealth of papers, books that can be found online. A lot of it is free. The best place might be to start with the Google Scholar and just see all the books and papers which have been read on synthetic media topic. And you probably need to put different keywords like augmented reality, virtual reality, etc. And then you can get a really good idea about the state of the art of these systems. I think it's always a good idea to be stimulated by fiction, right? So movies and fictional books can give very good stimulation and about what we could develop in the future. Although that might seem trivial, but it's really good to get into science fiction books and movies because they can often foretell the future. And even for myself, I think I was heavily influenced by, you know, I think I was 6 or 7, I saw Star Wars at the cinema, and, you know, the hologram of Princess Leia, I think that kind of captured my imagination, and I wanted to do that in real life, and that's how I kind of got into augmented reality. So it's really good to read fiction and science fiction.
Join us next week for a new episode by subscribing to the Synthetic Media Podcast. Check out my book about synthetic media on Amazon. Follow us on syntheticmediapodcast.com. This podcast was produced by Henrik de Gior. Music by Mattia Capelli. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. And thank you for listening.